Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, world. Welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is the first time you're tuning in, welcome. This is the show where I speak to fellow actors and have them tell me funny stories from their past. Sometimes they're auditions, sometimes it's about roles they didn't get. It's all in all a good time. Today on the show, we have Cynthia Carmona. You may know her from Greenhouse Academy or East Los High. She's currently in the new movie, The Tax Collector, opposite Shia LaBeouf and George Lopez. I had a great time talking to her. Here's that conversation. Please welcome to the show, Cynthia Carmona.
Hello.
How are you today, darling?
I'm good, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. Glad I have dogs.
How many dogs do you have?
Three. Oh, technically, wow. I have an Alaskan Malamute, a German Shepherd, and a Husky. So it's a big dog house.
I was going to say that they're pretty big over there. Do they like sleep in the bed with you?
The German Shepherd does. And she's also like the most, how do I say this? She has the most attitude. So if I accidentally touch her at night, she growls and then jumps off the bed.
That sounds like me on a day-to-day basis. I'm asking because I love dogs so much. I used to have a mini schnauzer, and this weekend I was hanging out by the beach, and I was just like, you know what? There were so many dogs there, and I'm like, you know what? I really just need a dog again.
I agree with this.
So much. We're not worthy. They're so awesome.
I know. They're the best things on this planet. I'm so happy that I have dogs.
I want one so bad. I'm thinking about either fostering, you know, now during quarantine, like a lot of these shelters are looking for foster homes and stuff. So I'm definitely considering it.
Fostering is tough, though, because that's where you fall in love and then you become a foster fail like me with my husky. And then you're just there. You just have another dog.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's probably what's going to end up happening for sure.
Well, I support it. I think you should do it.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm so happy to finally meet you. I've heard so much about you. My niece is obsessed with East Los High, FYI. I told her that I was interviewing you and she flipped.
Oh, yes. That's amazing. You know what? I had such a great time working on that show, and it was such a special series to be a part of, that when I meet, even though that was like what? I was on the show maybe like 4 years ago. Mm. Every time I meet any East Los fans, it's just special. It's so special, really. I really wish that they would have kept going with that show.
It was a good show. They should have. I think it had a really great fan base too.
Oh, totally. Totally. And I loved being a part of something that was primarily all Latino cast and crew. I thought that was really, that was really special. And it was the first established series that I had ever worked on. Like, I had just moved to LA when I got on that show, and it was just like, whoa, I'm just incredible people.
You had just moved to LA and you got East Los High.
I mean, that's definitely like one of those like super lucky Cinderella stories for sure.
No kidding.
No, yeah. Like, so I'm originally from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And I left, you know, like to pursue my dream, definitely left to LA maybe like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, was mm-hmm. here for about a year and then decided to just go study theater. Like,
that's a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just have the utmost respect for, you know, the true thespians in theater. Mm-hmm. I really just wanted to be able to call myself a real artist and actor.
I'm a real actor.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you know what? I didn't go to college for acting.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't study acting in college. And I don't think it's really necessary unless it's something specific within the craft that you want to study. Anyway, so then you move to New York, right? You moved to New York.
Yeah, I was in New York for like 3.5-4 years, just doing as much theater and studying as much theater as I could. And then I decided to come back to LA. Yeah, like I want to say like 5 years ago. And within 6 months, I mean, it was crazy. Like I came back, I was like sleeping on friends' couches, and I was just, you know, I was just hungry. I was just ready to go. I had been doing theater and just cutting my teeth in like this tiny studio apartment in like super broke New York. So, when I was here, it was like, I want to say less than 5 months of being here, I booked Eagles High.
Wow.
As a series regular. Yeah. So
that is wild.
Yeah. You know, like it doesn't really happen like that. Right.
No,
like,
it doesn't.
It doesn't. And I know that I'm so extremely aware of that, especially now. Right.
Because,
you know, first of all, we're not doing anything right now during quarantine, but then as the years, you know, progressed, I was like, wow, I really just got lucky with this. And especially on such a special show that had been Emmy nominated and just has incredible actors in it. Like the cast, everybody in the cast has gone off and done something really special. The producers, the directors, mm-hmm. everybody involved in that show has something really, really just cool to just show and offer. And yeah, to be a part of that, especially dancing and acting together.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I was really able to do that on screen. And oh man, you're making me miss it just talking.
So you're a dancer by trade as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving backwards in Miami, I started as a dancer, honestly. Mm. Like, first of all, I grew up in like the super religious, like what I mean super, I mean like uber religious family.
Okay.
Yeah. birthdays weren't celebrated, nothing like that. Like nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting for sure. And so acting, dancing, singing, modeling, any of that was never allowed really.
Right.
And even though I had that inkling since I was just, I mean, my parents told me that like before I was walking, I was already like dancing and singing and like talking to myself in the mirror and stuff.
Yeah.
I've always had this need to perform. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I wasn't really allowed to pursue it much. So what I could do in school was just dance.
Mm.
So yeah, like I was in a lot of like dance teams growing up and then became the captain of those dance teams. And then through those dance teams, I got a scholarship to dance. I got a wonderful school in Miami called Intensity Dancer Studio that was killing it competitively.
Wow.
And yeah, I had like four years of just free dance classes.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Dance classes are so expensive. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, my parents were not making the time for me to go do that. That wasn't in their plans for me. And on top of that, they were like, no, we've got bills to pay. Like this is not important.
Yeah. They're like, you're a little dancing? No.
Yeah. Like just dance in your room, chill out. It's a hobby. You'll be okay. you know, when it came to acting, I was really just, I guess, fortunate in the sense that I have a godmother who in Miami was like a talent agent for telenovela, like Spanish actors. Yeah. And she said that she was like, dude, we've known it since you were a kid, you know,
yeah.
Like you were always meant to do this, acting, singing, dancing, just like performing. And we, you know, they would tell she would tell my parents like, hey, you guys need to put her in like the local channel's variety show or something. And my parents would be like, nope, she has to go to school. She's got to be a doctor. Like,
oh, wow. They wanted you to be a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, my mom's a doctor. She's a histologist.
What does that mean?
So she studies like cancer cell and tissue.
Whoa.
Yeah. So she's in a lab all day, like lab coat behind the microscope all day. My dad was like valedictorian of his school. Brothers, engineers, sisters, psychologists. Like there's just all just, you know, academics.
Yeah. And then you came along and they're like, crap, here we go.
And I just came out like with feathers. Like I was just – I was like the wild child. Like I haven't changed. It's just I now am like – In a place in an environment where I can like wave my freak flag real high and not worry about it. But no, growing up, I was strange. I was totally looked at as weird.
I love that.
No, right? And like you grow up your whole life thinking like, oh my God, I'm so weird. And then you just meet all these other incredible artists and like talented people, and you're just like, oh, we're all weird. And this
right? Awesome. We're all so strange. It's great.
It's like, you know, the Island of Misfit Toys. It's really great.
It truly is. I know my mom still calls me weird all the time. I'm like, what do you expect? I've been doing this since I was like 6. Was I supposed to be normal?
That's so cool. And what, like, did you have like a similar story, or were your parents like super cool and open?
No, my parents were like, oh, you want to do that? Great. We hate the rain in Washington State, so we'll move to California and you can do your thing and we'll sit in the sun.
Oh, man. You know, I always bring that up to my parents. Like, I love them to death. Don't get me wrong. But I'm always like, you see, mom, you see, dad, like if you would have been one of those cool parents, you would have moved to LA when I was like 4. I would have been a lot further along at this point. But no, I really believe everything happens for a reason. And
totally.
I needed to grow up. I had a very normal childhood and like teenage years and stuff, just not focusing on just being an actress or a dancer. Like that was just something looming in the background. It was definitely a hobby, you know? Mm-hmm. I started doing commercials in Miami, started just working in local plays. I took like my first acting workshop finally when I was like 17. And that's that's when I really just became obsessed. Like it sunk in. I knew that I needed to do this. And I was fortunate enough at the time to get on a show behind my parents' back.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah. I had like visited a set once in Miami and there was this local director. He wasn't local. He was a director from New York who was doing a show in Miami. And he was like, hey, like, you want to be in this scene? Like, you're just.
No way.
Swear to God. Let's put you in hair and makeup. Like, I really like your look.
Oh my God.
And then afterwards he spoke to me and he was like, why don't you act? Like, what are you, what is your deal? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm in school. I'm still in high school. And it wasn't until my senior year of high school that he called me up and was like, hey, listen, I'm doing this like sketch comedy show, for like the Latin market in Miami. And I really want you to be in it as a dancer and as an actress. And we started shooting it during my senior year. Yeah, senior year. And I had to drop out because I couldn't do both.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't hide it from my parents, make it to filming, and on top of that, like graduate with, decent grades. So
yeah, exactly.
that was my first hurrah. It was incredible, really. It was a great experience. But yeah, I never got to finish it. The series ended up doing really well. And I actually went off to like my first year of college. I actually was studying dentistry.
Dentistry. You could have been a dentist.
I mean, like that.
What a life.
I'm just horrified at like anybody who would ever let me near their mouth like that. Like, I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, no.
I totally did it. I rocked it. Like I went and became a dental assistant and I went to school for it. And I was actually working as a dental assistant at the time. I must have been like, ooh, I want to say like 19.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was working for this super young doctor at the time. And he was like, you know what? You're super nice and you're cool. And like, I loved having you here. But every time you speak about acting or dancing or performing or writing or anything, like your eyes light up.
Aw.
Yeah. And he was like, let me tell you something about dentists. Dentists have this highest suicide rate.
What?
Yeah. He was like, you know, and it's true. It's true. Like, look this up. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
The statistics of this. Yeah, you know, people never really like the dentist. They're not really.
I mean, that's true. That's true. It's not the best person to see.
Yeah, because I asked him the same thing, and he was like, people always think we're trying to rip them off. They're never happy to see us. They don't feel like we're helping them. They're terrified of us. Like, it sucks. He's like, you know what? If I would have liked anything else, I would have gone with my passion. Go with your dream. And that day I quit.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing that your boss was just like, you know what? This isn't for you. You need to go do what you're supposed to do in this life.
I think it was a nice way of him telling me, like, you are horrible at this job. Like, you need to go do something where you're going to
please leave.
Leave, kindly remove yourself from my office.
So what do your parents say now? Now that you've been, you know, found success in this?
Yeah, you know, at first, like right after leaving the dental office and just being like, hey, I'm leaving. I don't know anybody in LA and I'm just going to go. Mm-hmm. They were terrified.
Right, yeah.
We were terrified. I remember, like, my parents were like, you need to just go and leave. They weren't happy about it. Like, basically, like, you know, not pleased at all and very scared. And you know how parents are. They'll, like, give you every reason as to why you will fail at the crazy dream of yours. But I did it anyway because I've always been that kind of person. Like, you can tell me a million things and I'm just going to do whatever I want at the end of the day.
Hey, you got to be that way if you're going to be somebody in this industry because, as you know, we get told no more than we get told yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. People, everybody wants to tell you their opinion or what they think you should do or who they think you should be or be like. And you got to – I think that's something that has helped me so much throughout all of this is that it's always been like, no, what do I want? What do I want to do? What do I see for myself? And then I just kind of go after it.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
But to answer the question, they're super proud of me now. My parents
good.
Are
good.
my biggest fans. It took them a very long time. Like, I've been doing this now for, like, I want to say 10 years. Mm-hmm. And at first, like, I'd be filming things. And you know how it is. Like, things would take forever to come out.
Yeah. And then they think that you're lying.
Oh, yeah. I had family in Colombia that was like, is she really an actress? Like, what is she doing? She's like, what? She's filming? What is she filming?
So is she just filming on her phone? Like, what's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. So it took a while. Like, I think it was by the time I was on my second series, I was on this show called Greenhouse Academy, that they were like, oh, wow, like, you're like an actress. Like, you're wow. Acting. I'm like, yeah, guys, I've been doing this for, you know, I don't know how many years now. Yes.
Yes, I've been trying to tell you that this is my job.
Right. But no, they're great. My parents, now it's so funny because I just called them a couple of weeks ago and I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're just watching your show again. Aww. We're just watching from season one and just, you know, just seeing how your character has evolved and grown. And I'm like, what? who took over your bodies? What is this? You know, but they're my biggest fans. If I have an audition or if a show gets canceled or if I'm having a hard day at work, mm-hmm. or like if I need some, you know, sometimes when we have to shoot like these really difficult scenes, like I'll call my parents, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get a little love and just come at it from a good place. And they're just always there to pep talk me, and they're just there for me, man. And I just hope that I can make them proud with my work.
Oh, okay. You're going to make me cry. I'm sure you've made them proud by now. I mean, like you said, you've been on two huge series now. I mean, that's huge in this industry. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's, you know, it's really cool. Like, now that we're talking about like cool stories, I had, you know, I was filming East Los High, right? And I was, mm-hmm. I was on an actual high. Like, I was on this series and I'm dancing and I get this audition.
Oh,
while
goodness.
I'm shooting, yeah, while I'm shooting East Los High. And I'm like, guys, I'm on set every day. I can't do this right now. Mm. And my manager was like, dude, this is a good opportunity for you. It's a great series. Film it in your trailer if you have to.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I had one of the actors on East Los High, who's an incredible actor, by the way. His name is Adechike. He's just such a good everything. He shot me in my trailer. It was awful lighting. I'm pretty sure the audio was just terrible. But yeah, it was the audition for Greenhouse Academy. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, really special. I think that's always something I look back on. Like, wow, like I was a series regular on two different shows at the same time when I first started.
That's blowing my mind. Like, that's absolutely, that's one of those things where you back in the day, it wouldn't have even happened because you would have been locked into a contract and they would have been like, absolutely not. You can't be on another show.
Totally. Totally. But that's what's so cool about like digital media, you know, like mm-hmm. I was on one show was on Hulu and then the other show was on Netflix.
So funny.
Yeah. So I was able to do both and they were both super unique and special. It still blows me away just to talk about it.
That's amazing. All right. So do you have any other fun stories or interesting or heartbreaking stories that you want to share with us?
Yeah. So I've actually got a really cool movie coming out August 7th, mm-hmm. Directed by David Ayer, called The Tax Collector. And it stars Bobby Soto, Shia LaBeouf, George Lopez, and myself. Mm-hmm. A really, really great film. I'm excited for everybody to see it. And the way that I actually got that role was probably the most crazy experience of my career thus far.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let me get my popcorn. Let's do this.
So, you know, David Ayer. Like,
yeah. Huge. Huge.
No big deal, right?
No big deal.
Yeah. No. I mean, just like Training Day, Suicide Squad, Fury. Like, just the list goes on. He's just so great.
And, very laid back movies, not, you know, not huge movies by any means.
Yeah, like totally rom-com, you know, just like, you know, that, like puppies and rainbows and all the good stuff. Yeah. He was actually auditioning for the lead of this series. This was the first time that he was going to be delving into TV. It was supposed to be, you know, a major network show, and it was literally, Jillian, it was the greatest script I had ever read, ever.
Wow.
Like, it was just so badass. It was everything that I love, meaning like just a lot of action and female lead, just like kicking ass and taking names kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, representing myself as a Latina. Like, oh, man, it was just the coolest script I had ever read. And it's something that I just had to do. And I was really excited to just get to meet David. You know, I had never met him before, but I loved his work. Like, End of Watch, like, fuck, I loved that movie.
So good.
Yeah. But, yeah, I came in a couple of times and I auditioned for him. And it was, like, nerve-wracking because they auditioned everybody. Like, everybody that was, like, my type. Like, everybody was in the room. And it was such a thrill. And I actually ended up testing for the role. And it was, like, Jerry Bruckheimer in the room. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, like, just everybody. And yeah, it was probably the strongest audition I've ever had in my career. The one that I just gave it my all. Like, I left it all in the room. And
that's such a special moment in itself, because I feel like that's just like one of those moments as an actor where you're like, I really did truly do the best job I absolutely could have.
Of course. And, you know, like, testing is nerve-wracking, right?
So nerve-wracking. Like, you have like 30 people in front of you and you're trying to get involved in a scene with one other person.
Yeah, and then they make you sign the contract before you go in, and you know, there's like just all these factors that just take away the acting. There's just so much that is stripped from you that you just have to find it however you can. But yeah, no, David was great with me in the room. We worked together, and he was my cheerleader from day one. Yeah, it was a Friday. I'll never forget. It was a Friday. And
oh, God. And then you had to wait all weekend?
Yes. But the cool thing was that it was Coachella weekend.
Oh.
So I actually ended up going to Coachella that weekend and like kind of let it go, kind of just let it out to the universe. It was just like, you know what? If this is meant for me, whatever, I'll know. Mm-hmm. And Monday morning, I'm driving back from, you know, from Coachella Valley, and I get a message from David.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And he's like, hey, Cynthia, this is David Ayer. And, yeah. And he's like, I just want you to know, like, you did a great job and you should be really proud of yourself. And like, I have good news and bad news. And I'm like, sure. Okay. Let's see what he's going to say. Like, I didn't book the role and, you know, great job and we'll keep you in mind or something like that. Right.
Of course. I'm totally going to hire you next time.
Yeah. Like, we should have lunch. And he goes, he's like, okay, the good news is the role was yours from the very beginning.
Wow.
You know, you were our girl from the start. We just needed to, you know, just iron out the details and stuff with network. The bad news is that the show is actually not going to move forward at all.
What?
Because there was like some differences with the network. And he was like, the show's actually not going to happen through this particular network. So imagine, Jillian, being
on my God.
Like, I just booked the most incredible role of my career. I mean, female lead. Like, my mom was already waiting on, you know, house I was going to buy her, basically. And then to get in the same sentence, like, hey, you booked this role, but we're not going to move forward with this project in this network. It was like, what?
I can't even imagine the roller coaster of emotions you went through in like a span of 60 seconds.
It was insane. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, I was just so happy to have been able to, it's like a check mark. It's like something that was like, you know what? I did this and it was great. In that moment, you just had to let it go and just like, okay, cool. And then David was like, but, you know, I do want to work with you and I do want to do something in the future. So, we should meet up. We should have lunch at my office. Like, I'd really love to get to know you more. And I was like, okay. See, you know, how many times has this happened that you take a meeting with a producer or a director? And then when do things follow through? The day that I went to his office, there were like four other actors there and I had no idea what we were doing.
What?
Yeah, we had to sign an NDA form as soon as we got in. I was just like waiting for some good Thai food or something. Like, going on, and David walks in and he's basically like, hey, like, I brought you guys all here because you guys are the cast of my new movie. So for the next 2 hours, we're just going to talk about the script.
Wait, what? That is so bizarre.
Jillian, your reaction was my reaction. I was like, well, what? Wait, what?
I'm just flabbergasted.
I can't lie. That was one reaction. The other reaction was like, are we still doing takeout? Like, I really didn't eat anything before I got here.
But David, I still need that food, though.
I need to eat. I get real hangry. Like, how are we going to handle this? No, that's what it was. So I was actually sitting in the room with Bobby Soto, Conejo, Cheyenne Hernandez, who had also been in the testing room for the role that I was brought in for.
Wow.
And myself. Yeah. And David just sits down with us and tells us about this script that he's had in his mind for the last like 20 years and that he's finally found the cast who will bring it forward.
Holy crap.
And that's how it began. And let me tell you, like if Family Crimes, which was the original script for the previous role, was like the best script that I had read, The Tax Collector was up there, definitely up there. And just, you know, female lead on, you know, just incredible action film with Shia LaBeouf. Like, hello, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's like dream life right there.
Yeah, 100%. And just something so different from what I had been doing, right? Like, before with my series and all that, just exactly where I felt like I needed to be and I wanted to be and exactly where I had worked to be. So
yeah,
that was definitely like both the worst and best audition story.
It's just such a bizarre like turn of events. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, yeah, sure, you're gonna put me in something else. I've heard that before. And then they're like, no, this is yours.
No, yeah. And it was like, obviously, like, it wasn't something that was just given to me. Like, I had shown my work in the room. Yeah. Like, I had worked. I had gone in, before network. I had gone in, like, four times before that, before the test, to just, you know, just do all these different scenes. So he they get a feel for you. He got a feel for me in the room, and I got a feel for him, too, and it was the same as it was on set. It's just building that chemistry with the director and connecting to the material. And man, it was incredible. And the experience of filming that movie is just a whole other bag of tricks. That was crazy. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
Oh my gosh. So where is this movie going to be so that everybody can watch it?
Okay. So the movie will be in theaters August 7th, but it will also be digital and on demand, video on demand. And it will be available in the rest of the world October 26th.
Fantastic. And where can people find you on social media?
You know, I'm not like on everywhere on social media. I'm not going to lie. I'm still getting the hang of it. But I am on Instagram. So definitely follow me and keep up with what I'm doing and reach out and say hi. I say hello back. I definitely try to answer as many messages as I can. It's at Cynthia Carmona.
I'm just sitting here completely flabbergasted still about that story because that one shook me to my core.
Yeah, we didn't even get to like the embarrassing stories.
You're gonna have to come back on.
Yeah, no, for real. But that one was a special one. And I think for, you know, any actor that's out there listening to this right now, it's like you never know. You may not book a certain role that you want so bad. And obviously we get so down on ourselves, but you never know. Like that incredibly strong audition that you gave your all can lead to something even better. So
100%.
Learned.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Cynthia. I cannot wait to watch The Tax Collector. I'm going to download it the day it comes out.
Oh, thank you. Let me know what you think. I'm definitely excited. I've been jamming to the soundtrack all day today. So.
Ooh, fun.
Cool. It's pretty cool.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jillian. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Cynthia for coming on the show and sharing that awesome story about her new film, The Tax Collector, which is out tomorrow, August 7th. Make sure to watch that and support her. Tune in next week to hear my conversation with Alex Weiss. You know him from Broadway or maybe Bold and the Beautiful or his series Indoor Boys. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. You can also follow the show on social media. Those links are in the show notes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit. But more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.